It's Matthew 14, and Libby's going to start reading at verse 22 for us. Thanks, Libby.
Jesus walks on the water. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
But can you try and remember what it was about this event that we've just read, that Libby's just read for us, that we were thinking about in terms of discovering what it means to follow Jesus? Can anybody remember? Yeah, go on, Robert. Trusting, that's right. Could we have Major Tom, could we have the next slide? Thank you, there we go. So trusting, that's right. We were thinking about a little bit about what it is to trust in Jesus as we follow him. And we looked at Matthew chapter 14. We saw how Jesus sent his disciples ahead into the boat, out onto the lake, and Jesus got rid of the crowd, because in the verses before what Libby just read for us, Jesus has been feeding about 5,000 men, and Jesus has dispersed the crowd, and he's spent some time praying by himself on the mountainside. That's what we looked at, didn't we, boys and girls? Sorry, Vicky, what's the? I did put some pictures up. What's the next? Oh, there we go. Okay. So Jesus has sent his disciples on ahead of him. That's what we saw, didn't we? And after Jesus finished praying, Jesus walks out on top of the water towards his disciples. Now, here we go. Can you remember, what did the disciples think? They saw this figure walking towards them on the water. It was a bit rough, wasn't it? The boat was kind of tipping this way and that way. And they just about made out a figure that was walking towards them. Can you remember, boys and girls, what they thought the figure was? Evie? A ghost, yeah. They thought they saw a ghost walking towards them. And we did scary faces. Boys and girls, can you show, because they were scary. Show me your scary. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, adults. No, that's just a natural look, is it? That's okay. And they thought, it's a ghost. That's what they thought. But Jesus spoke to them. They said, no, it's me. It's Jesus. And then what did Peter do? Boys and girls, can you remember what Peter did? Who else was there? Go on, Kate. You're looking like you know, Kate. Go on, do you want to say? Yeah, exactly. That's right. Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." Amazing. Vicky, is that the next slide? Yeah, there we go. So, Peter, this boat on this rough sea, rocking about, he decides to get out of the boat and look at Jesus, trust in Jesus, and start walking towards Jesus on the water. But something happened, didn't it, boys and girls? Can you remember what happened? Go on, Joanna. Yeah, he started to doubt. Joanna, can I ask you one more question? How do we know he started to doubt? What did he do? What did he start to do? That's right. He looked around him. He took his eyes off Jesus. And he looked around him. And he saw the wind and he saw the waves. And he started to sink into the sea. Vicky, can we have the next slide? I think it's the... Oh, no. Did I stop there? Oh, okay. Never mind. That's right. But what did Peter say then? Sorry, were you stretching, Kate? You were stretching. Okay, that's okay. You're ready for some actions in a bit. Brilliant. What did Peter do? What did he shout out? Can anybody else remember? Boys and girls, where are you? Go on, Robert. Lord, save me. That's right. Now, did Jesus stand there and say no? Sort yourself out, Peter. Or did he reach out? Silly question, really. Yeah, thank you, Robert. Yeah, he reached out and he grabbed Peter and he went back to the boat. And when they got in the boat, the wind and the waves, it had all died down. And the rest of the disciples, can you remember how this event finished, boys and girls? How did it finish? What did the disciples do to Jesus when he got back into the boat? Go on, Joe. They worshipped him. Yeah, they praised him. And they acknowledged something about Jesus. If you want to have a quick look if you want to. It's in verse 33. What did they acknowledge about Jesus? That's really crucial. Go on, Robert. Yeah. He's the Son of God. That's amazing. And I think there's a couple of things in there that Peter learned about what it is to trust in Jesus. See, I think Peter trusts in Jesus because he got out of the boat, didn't he? He got out of the boat and he started to walk towards Jesus on top of the water. But I think through that, Peter learned how much he can trust in Jesus. Essentially, what did Peter learn about how much he could trust in Jesus? Well, I think he came to realize that he could trust his life. Because as he took his eyes off Jesus, as he became afraid of the wind and the waves around him, he started to sink. And as we said, he cried out, "Lord, save me, because I'm sinking, I'm going to drown." And I think through that event, he realized that he could trust his whole life into Jesus. But also I think as well that the really big thing, perhaps most important thing, is when the disciples worshipped Jesus, boys and girls, they said, "Jesus, you are the Son of God." So they're acknowledging something really quite massive about Jesus. Because they're saying that he's not just an ordinary guy or an ordinary person like you or me. There's something radically different about Jesus. They're saying essentially that he is divine. There's this man standing in front of them, and the situation that they've just gone through has caused them to realize who Jesus really is, that he is God's Son. And so they rightly worship him and they praise him. And we were thinking a little bit about that on Wednesday and what it means for us to trust in Jesus. Because trust happens on all sorts of levels, doesn't it? See, if you're not my son or daughter, you might not necessarily trust me so much as you might your own mum and dad. You would trust your own mum and dad more than you would trust me. Or perhaps the chair that you're sitting on, you're completely trusting in that to hold your weight, aren't you? Or maybe you've got your legs on the floor and you're trying to hold half of yourself up. I doubt you're doing that. You're completely trusting in the chair that you're sitting on to hold you up. And so I think the disciples came to realize that they could completely and fully, with their lives, trust in Jesus because he is God's Son. Would you pick up your Bibles again, please, for a second Bible reading? This is what we were thinking about on Thursday this week. And turn to Luke chapter 22, page 745, Luke chapter 22. And Joel's going to come and read from verse 54 down to 65 for us. Thanks, Joel.
Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the cockerel crows today, you will disown me 3 times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. The men who were guarding Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him and demanded, "Prophesy, who hit you?" And they said many other insulting things to him.
On Thursday, we were thinking about those verses, and we were looking at Peter as he follows Jesus. Vicky, could we have the slide, please? Discovering what it means to follow Jesus. And we were thinking about a tripping up. Essentially, we were trying to get across to the boys and girls that we sin, that we let Jesus down, we fall far short of the way in which that he wants us to live. Just like maybe you were walking along a footpath, and then you hate it when sometimes the little slabs are sticking up a little bit and you catch your toe and you kind of stumble and you trip and you fall. And we see that in Peter, in his faith. Ultimately, we see that in the way that we sin and we rebel against God. And so we looked at this situation in which Peter finds himself in. Let me just fill in the verses a little bit, which I did for the boys and girls, just to help you boys and girls remember what it is that we were thinking about. Because this is the time period, the day before, that Jesus knows he's going to be arrested. And he's going to be, even though he was innocent, he was found guilty and sentenced to death on a cross. Jesus has met with his disciples. They've had what we call the Lord's Supper sometimes. I'm sure you see that. We have that after the morning service here. Similar kind of meal that Jesus did with his disciples. And then Jesus turns to Peter and basically says to Peter, "Peter, look, some difficult times are coming ahead. Really difficult times are coming ahead. But I'm praying for you." And Peter says these words in verse 33 of Luke chapter 22. "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." Well, Jesus says to Peter, "I tell you, Peter, before the cock crows today, you will deny 3 times that you know me." And then there's a little bit more dialogue between Jesus and his disciples, so that they make their way to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus leaves his disciples. Jesus goes on ahead a little bit to pray. Sorry, Vicky, what's the next slide, please? Oh, there we go. Yeah, so Peter says to Jesus, "Jesus, I'm ready to die for you. That's what I'm ready to do, Jesus." Well, then they make their way to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus goes on ahead and he prays, spends some time in prayer to God, his Heavenly Father. Well, Jesus comes back to his disciples, finds them asleep, wakes them up. As I'm sure a lot of us know, a large crowd from Jerusalem comes, soldiers, some chief elders and priests. They arrest Jesus and they take Jesus back into the high priest's house. And Peter follows at a distance. Vicky, can we have the next slide, please? Now, Jesus has been taken into the high priest's house. We said, boys and girls, he was being interrogated. He was being questioned by them about his teachings and what he was going around doing, because they wanted to stop him from doing that. I wonder if you remember that. That's what we said. They wanted to stop Jesus from going around carrying on with his teaching and gaining followers and gaining disciples. And while that's happening inside the high priest's house, Peter is outside in the courtyard and he's warming himself by the fire. Now, boys and girls, what happened as Peter was warming himself by the fire? It happened 3 times, didn't it? Can anybody remember, boys and girls, that were there on Thursday? Can anybody remember what happened? Go on, Joe, I think you were first. Go on, Joe. That's right. He did exactly what Jesus said he was going to do. 3 times he was asked. You were with Jesus. Yeah, I recognize you. You were one of his followers. Yeah, I saw you with Jesus 3 times. That's right, Joe. Peter said, "Nope, not me. I don't know Jesus. I haven't been following him. I don't know who he is." And after the third time, boys and girls, can you remember what happened? After the third time, what happened? Go on then, Robert. The cock crowed, yeah. And then Peter remembered. Can we have the next slide, please, Vicky? That's right. Peter remembered he ran out of the courtyard. And Luke tells us that he wept bitterly. He'd remembered that just a few hours earlier, Jesus had said to him, Peter, some tough times are coming, and you're going to deny me not once, not twice, but three times. You're going to say that you don't know me. And Peter remembered those words, and he went out, and he wept bitterly. He'd stumbled, he'd tripped. And we thought about a little bit about some of the ways that, with the boys and girls, that we might do that. Because the Bible, well, it is honest about us. And because God is honest, and he tells us that our hearts, well, they are sinful. That is, that we do wrong things against God. We sometimes tell lies to get ourselves out of trouble. Sometimes we can be nasty, not very nice to maybe our brothers or our sister. We sometimes don't want to listen to our mum and our dad. There's all sorts of different ways. But what was really important about Thursday, boys and girls, because we thought about how Jesus afterwards, well, after that event, Jesus was sentenced to death on a cross. He did die on a cross, and he was placed in a tomb, but he didn't stay dead. He rose again. And he goes to Peter, and we said he didn't say to Peter, now look, Peter, you know, a couple of days ago, you denied me three times. I'm really, really disappointed in you, Peter. I'm just so upset the way that you said you wouldn't do it, and what happened? That you got to that fire, and three times you said you didn't even know me. After all we've been through, Peter, after everything you've seen and heard and experienced. But Jesus didn't treat Peter in that way, did he? And Jesus doesn't treat us in that same way either. Why? Why? What was crucial about Thursday? What did Jesus do, boys and girls? Can you remember? So that we could be forgiven of our sin. Joanna. Sorry? That's right. That's right. And we thought a little bit about the cross and about how on the cross Jesus died in our place. Jesus took the punishment because our sin deserves to be punished because God is a just God. And we were thinking a little bit about Jesus dying on the cross, taking that punishment that we deserve for our sin. And so that we can be friends with God, and we can be friends with Jesus because he died on the cross for us and because he rose again, because he lives. He is alive now, seated on his throne in heaven. Well, that was Thursday. That's what we were thinking a little bit about with the boys and girls. Acts chapter 12 for our final reading. Page 778 in the Blue Church Bible. Page 778. Acts chapter 12. And Isaac's going to come and read from verse 1 down to 19.
It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the feast of unleavened bread. After arresting them, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and centurions stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and the light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. The angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They had passed the first and second guards and came to a 9-gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter said to himself, Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognised Peter's voice, she was overjoyed. She ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You are out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angel." But Peter kept on knocking. And then when they opened the door, they saw him. They were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the brothers about this," he said, and he left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as what had become of Peter. After Herod had made a thorough search made for him, he did not find him. He cross-examined the guards and ordered them to be executed.
So that was Friday. That's what we were thinking about on Friday. Vicky, can we have the next slide up, please? Yeah, being transformed. Great. Now, boys and girls, who is it that comes and lives in us and transforms us? Who did we say does that? The Holy Spirit. Well done. That's right. The Holy Spirit. That's what we were thinking about. The Holy Spirit. God sending the Holy Spirit to live in us and change and transform us. Again, let me give a little bit of the story up to Acts chapter 12, because we were thinking about Peter, and clearly in this chapter he's been arrested and he's in prison. But prior to that, Jesus was telling his disciples that he was going to leave them, he was going to go back to his Father in heaven, but when he does that, he might physically leave them, but he would send the Holy Spirit to live in them. And in that sense, Jesus would always be with them. And we thought a little bit about how the disciples that were a little bit disturbed at that fact, because they didn't want Jesus to go. But we get to the beginning of Acts, and that's what happens. Jesus meets his disciples, and he does leave them. He goes back to his Father in heaven. And then the Holy Spirit does come and live in those who are turning and trusting in him and following Jesus. And we see the initial transformation in Peter, as we suggested to the boys and girls on Friday. Because Peter, well, he's no longer denying Jesus. He's no longer saying to others he doesn't know Jesus. In fact, he's doing the complete opposite. Vicky, could we have the next slide? We thought about Peter particularly preaching to crowds of people, vast crowds of people, telling them about Jesus. He's standing there confidently and boldly just proclaiming the truth. He's saying to people, you know, look, it really is all about Jesus. You know, that guy that you rejected, that guy you wouldn't listen to, that guy that you sentenced to death on a cross, he actually is God's king. He is the one that you need to trust in, and you need to turn and repent, say sorry for the way that you've been living, and start to follow Jesus, because it really is all about him. But we kind of said as well, didn't we, boys and girls, that got Peter into a little bit of trouble, didn't it? What happened? I've kind of already said it. But what happened to Peter as a result of him going around? Yeah, Esme, he went into prison. He got arrested. It wasn't a very nice king, King Herod. He sent soldiers out to arrest Peter and James as well. But Peter, particularly, we were following. He got brought before Herod. King Herod, and King Herod wanted to make a public spectacle of, wanted to put him before the crowds and make a public spectacle of him. But before he did that, he threw him into prison. Is that the next slide, Vicky? I think, yeah, there we go. And as Luke tells us in Acts, it's quite descriptive that Peter sat there with two chains. He's chained on the one wrist to one soldier. We could probably just see that, boys and girls, in the bottom left-hand side. And a chain on the other side, and there's a hand in the way. But he was chained twice, either side. No chance really of escape, or so Peter might have thought. And he was sleeping there in prison. But what happened as Peter was asleep in prison? Yeah, Robert, your hand came up quick. An angel. Yeah, sorry, you go on. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, an angel appeared in the cell and poked Peter in the ribs and woke him up, told him to get up, put on his shoes and cloak, which Peter did. Peter got up and followed the angel. The chains fell off. Walked past the guards that were at the entrance to his cell. Walked up to the big iron gates. What happened to those iron gates, boys and girls? Anybody else remember? Oh, Juno. Yeah, go on then. They opened for them. That's right. Remarkable. And then Peter followed the angel down one street. They got to the end of the street, and we saw how the angel then left Peter. And then Peter had realized that God had sent an angel to rescue him from prison. And then Peter arrived at Mary's house. Something a little bit strange happened. I'm sure he probably felt a little bit awkward for a few minutes, actually. Have we got the next slide, please? There we go. He knocks on the door. And then a slave girl called Rhoda, she went up to let Peter in, but she heard his voice. And then she got to the door. What did she do? Ran back, yeah, left him standing outside in the street. And she ran back inside and she said, "You're not going to believe," because there was Christians gathering in Mary's house and they were praying. And she went back inside and she said, "You're not going to believe this. It's Peter at the door." And they said, "Oh, no, it isn't." And she said, and they said, and she said, no, I'll stop there. But she ran back out and she opened the gate, the door, and let Peter in. And he went in. Is that the next slide, Vicky? Yeah. And he told them, he told the Christians that were meeting and praying about everything that had just happened, and greatly encouraged them. Because he knew that God had sent an angel to rescue him from prison. And actually, I think in this we were thinking about two things, really, actually, on Friday. We were thinking about how those who do turn and trust and follow Jesus, Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to live in them and change them. We were thinking about being transformed. And we were saying that it's not a physical transformation or change. Jesus doesn't want us to physically look like him. It's an internal, it's our hearts that he changes. It's our hearts that need changing. That's what the Holy Spirit does, works in us to change us and transform us more and more into the likeness of Jesus. But also I think that we can take great encouragement, as Peter did, to know that because the Holy Spirit lives in us, Jesus is always with us. Even if that means being chained and stuck in a dark, dingy, smelly prison cell, Jesus was still with Peter. And I hope, boys and girls, you're encouraged a little bit by that. Because you might be the only person in your class who goes to church. You might be the only person in your class who's a Christian. None of your friends might be Christians. And we can sometimes feel a little bit alone. And it's a little bit hard when we feel alone to keep following Jesus. But we can always remember that Jesus is always with us. Jesus said he'd send the Holy Spirit, and he did. And the Holy Spirit is always living in us. And we can take great comfort and encouragement in that. Well, sorry, Vicky, what's the next slide? There we go. So essentially, folks, that's what we were looking at over the 3 days. We were looking at those three big things, discovering what it means to follow Jesus, how those who respond to Jesus by following him need to trust in him, how we sometimes do trip up because our hearts are sinful, but how Jesus deals with us because of the cross, deals us with his grace and his love, but also those who continue to follow him, have the Holy Spirit living in us, changing us, transforming us.